Welcome back to Books with Bert. Our main book today is entitled Harriet Tubman, Conductor on the Underground Railroad. The author is Ann Petrie. Many Americans know Harriet Tubman as an escaped slave who led other blacks to freedom. Most people don't know about Thomas Garrett. Garrett was the white man who worked with Tubman to free hundreds, even thousands, of slaves. Petrie's book is a short and readable account of Harriet Tubman, and she also includes much on the life of Thomas Garrett. Therefore, it's a useful book. Harriet Tubman was born in 1820 into a slave family on the Brodus Plantation in Maryland. Slavery is obviously an immoral institution, and the founders pointed in that direction in the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence says that we are endowed by our Creator, by God, with certain unalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Slavery is a denial of that right, and Harriet Tubman and Thomas Garrett were part of the system that eventually eliminated slavery. Within the slave system, Tubman was somewhat content. She didn't have her freedom, but she did have her family and her husband. However, the danger of the family being broken up was always present. And in the 1840s, her master had been changed to an adjacent plantation by a man named Thompson. He was losing money, and he was going to sell some of the slaves. And Harriet was extremely concerned about this. In the midst of Harriet's distress, a white woman came and visited the plantation. She was driving a wagon. She stopped the wagon, watched Harriet, and then said these words to Harriet. "If you ever need any help, Harriet, ever need any help, why, you let me know." Ann Petrie records that conversation and talks about how it touched Harriet Tubman, because why would a woman, a neighbor woman, say something like that to her? She thought she would take a chance and possibly go visit that woman at night. Her husband was against it. John Tubman was absolutely against it. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He didn't want to have anything to do with the disruption of slave life. And Harriet Tubman was left to fend for herself. And she said these words, which is kind of interesting. And I quote, "I had reasoned this out in my mind. There was one of two things I had a right to: liberty or death. If I could not have one, I would have the other, for no man should take me alive. I should fight for my liberty as long as my strength lasted. And when the time came for me to go, the Lord would let them take me." Harriet Tubman, in the middle of the night, went to visit that white woman to see what it was that that white woman had to offer Harriet. What she discovered when she knocked on the door and the lady opened the door was the first stop on the Underground Railroad. That white woman was what they called a conductor, one of the white people willing to help the blacks in slavery move in a northern direction to escape slavery and get into a free state. Harriet spent the night with that woman, and the woman explained to Harriet what the Underground Railroad was all about. The Underground Railroad was a way to freedom for slaves. But you had to be careful. You were at risk of death if you were captured. And so Harriet had to travel at night. She had to travel not on the main roads. And the white woman gave Harriet directions to the next stop on the Underground Railroad. Harriet left and came to the next stop, where she was put up for the night and given instructions on how to move further north to the next stop. These white people were willing to take the risks. They were courageous also, because they stood to lose, to be jailed and have their property taken from them if they should be caught aiding and abetting a fugitive slave. Therefore, both sides had to be careful. Of course, the escaped slave was at a greater risk and had more work to do going from house to house. But black and white had to work together to fulfill the goals of the Declaration of Independence. What happened was Harriet eventually got into Delaware. She goes from Maryland, the plantation was in Maryland, to Delaware. And the last stop on the Underground Railroad she had been looking forward to because she had heard about the man who was at the last stop on the Underground Railroad. His name was Thomas Garrett. He was a Quaker man, and he had helped many slaves escape to freedom. Sometimes he would even cross the border into Pennsylvania himself. He was in Wilmington, Delaware. He was a merchant, and she was given directions finally to his house as she moved further north. When she got to Thomas Garrett's residence, he greeted her. He looked after her. He had a hidden room, by the way, in his building, and was able to hide her there in case the police came. And he also was able to feed her. He liked to give escaped slaves a pair of shoes when he could, because obviously you're going on barefoot, and a pair of shoes was great as you worked your way into freedom. So he helped Harriet get across the Pennsylvania border into Philadelphia, where a black man named William Still was waiting to help Thomas Garrett with escaped slaves. Still was a black businessman in Philadelphia, and he would help provide employment or at least help them with opportunities that may exist in the North for the escaped slaves to find work. This was important because many times Southern slave owners would argue that the slavery institution was okay and that blacks were content within slavery. Well, how could they be content if they're trying to escape and go north? The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is almost built into human beings. Harriet was exercising that right, that God-given right, and she escaped into freedom. However, as a free black woman, and she was working in the Philadelphia area, she missed her family. She wanted to bring them up with her. And she did something extraordinarily dangerous. She offered to go back on the Underground Railroad to go get her family and bring them into freedom in the North. Thomas Garrett must have been surprised to see Harriet coming back. Well, she probably still had her pair of shoes, but he fed her, and of course, Harriet had already gone north, so now it was a question of retracing her steps and going south on the Underground Railroad, and she eventually got back to her Maryland plantation. The happy news was that she had family members who were willing to come with her. She would have to take them only one or two or maybe three at the most at a time because you can't be traveling in a herd at night on the Underground Railroad. But the good news is that she had those family members with her. The bad news was that her husband wanted nothing to do with it. That was one of the biggest sadnesses of Harriet's life. Her husband not only did not want to have anything to do with Harriet and the Underground Railroad, but she discovered he had remarried. When she left, he in effect said, "She's deserted me," and he married a woman named Caroline. Harriet was furious, but she held back her wrath because she wanted to get her family to safety, and she didn't want John to turn her in, or Caroline to turn her in to the authorities in Maryland. So she helped family members escape, and they came north on the Underground Railroad, eventually got to Thomas Garrett's place in Wilmington, and he helped get them into freedom over across the border to William Still in Philadelphia and safety. Harriet made several trips then back and forth, getting her family to freedom. The Underground Railroad, we need to say, was a key to freedom for fugitive slaves. But for the Underground Railroad to be successful, I want to reiterate, black and white had to work together effectively and courageously. Historians often neglect this last point. It is rarely mentioned in textbooks. Ann Petrie, in her biography of Harriet Tubman, brings this point out loud and clear. It is critical to understanding the story of freedom in America. Black and white had to work together. Blacks, of course, risked their lives when they tried to escape from their masters, but the white conductors on the Underground Railroad, as I said, who housed and then transported the slaves northward, risked jail terms or large fines. According to the Fugitive Slave Act, slaves were property, economic assets. Helping runaway slaves, therefore, was theft, the transporting of stolen goods across state lines. Slave owners were allowed to go into free territory in the North using the power of the state to recover their property and to prosecute those who trafficked in stolen goods. For the Underground Railroad to function, black and white had to share risks and work together to fulfill the goals of the Declaration of Independence. Harriet Tubman, after she had helped family members and friends get to freedom, decided to go back and help other slaves get to freedom. She knew the route on the Underground Railroad well by this time. She had made friends of many of the white people on the Underground Railroad, and she had confidence that it was her life's mission, it was God's plan for her life, to help other slaves secure their freedom. Sometimes there were many difficulties. The good news for Harriet, Thomas Garrett was always there at the end of the line to help. On one of Harriet's excursions, she could not get to Garrett's store because the local police had been aroused and had posted sentries at the Wilmington Bridge into the city. Tubman had a secret note sent to Garrett explaining her problem, and the imaginative Garrett hatched the following plan. He hired a group of sympathetic bricklayers and had them leave the city of Wilmington, crossing the Wilmington Bridge in two wagons, seemingly off for a day's work on a farm. The police, of course, noted the wagons and expected their return later. Once Garrett's henchmen were safely outside the city, they rendezvoused with Tubman and carefully hid her and all the fugitives she had brought with her in the bottom of the wagons under blankets and tools. Later that day, the bricklayers returned to Wilmington, and with gaiety and song, they were recrossing the bridge, and they ambled through the roadblock, fooled the unsuspecting guards, who thought, oh, those are the bricklayers who came through here in the morning. Once the fugitives were safely inside the city, Garrett emerged to direct them north to freedom. Garrett's and Tubman's decision to challenge slavery angered many Americans. When one enraged slave owner threatened to shoot Garrett, he boldly visited the man, opened his arms, and said, quote, "Here I am. Thee can shoot me if thee likes." The bewildered slave owner was so startled by this Quaker's demeanor that he let Garrett go. Garrett was regularly watched by local police, however, and was even denounced by U.S. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Roger Taney. Meanwhile, Harriet Tubman had a reward offered for her capture, and the reward would be, in today's dollars, very high, over $100,000. Such sums tempted another fugitive slave, Thomas Otwell, to try to catch her. Tubman entrusted Otwell to help her sneak eight fugitive slaves to Garrett and then to freedom from the state of Delaware. Let me quote from another book on Harriet Tubman by Kate Larson called Bound for the Promised Land. Larson writes about Otwell that he, quote, decoyed and betrayed this group of eight fugitive slaves into a Dover jail, Dover being the capital of Delaware. Revealing his role as an Underground Railroad operator to a local white man, James Hollis, Otwell conspired to trap the group coming through and claim the reward money, estimated at nearly $3,000, for those fugitive slaves. Had he been able to get Harriet in that group, which was his intent, there would have been more than double that reward money because she would have been captured. Otwell was willing to turn Harriet Tubman and other fugitive slaves over to the authorities for the reward money. However, Harriet Tubman did not go with them to Dover. She had other business to attend to, and Otwell ended up losing the other eight fugitive slaves because once they were jailed, they were able to break out of the jail and secure their way to safety. Thomas Garrett was absolutely concerned that Harriet Tubman had been caught. He ended up helping some of the fugitive slaves, some of whom ran to him and were able to make it to his residence in Wilmington. Garrett kept saying, "Where is Harriet Tubman? Has she been captured too?" They tried to explain that they didn't think she had, but Garrett was uneasy for a time until he was again able to meet with Harriet Tubman and discover that she was safe and she was back in business on the Underground Railroad. Harriet Tubman took risks. Thomas Garrett took risks. I regret to say that Thomas Garrett at one point was caught. And when he was caught, Chief Justice Taney and the local authorities in Delaware tried his case. He was found guilty of aiding fugitive slaves, and the fines and damages that Garrett had to pay took every dollar of his property. Ann Petrie writes about this capture very movingly. She says, his household effects and all of his belongings were sold at public auction. The sheriff who conducted the sale turned to Garrett and said, quote, Thomas, I hope you'll never be caught at this again, end quote. Garrett, who was then 60 years old, answered, friend, I haven't a dollar in the world, but if thee knows a fugitive anywhere on the face of the earth who needs a breakfast, send him to me. Garrett was ultimately able to raise money to get his house back when it was sold at auction, but he was able to get it back and went into business again on the Underground Railroad. Thomas Garrett, the numbers vary according to the sources, but at least over 2,000 people, Thomas Garrett led to freedom. They were a big part of the Underground Railroad. It was black and white working together to fulfill the goals of the Declaration of Independence, to let this country know that slavery was wrong, that slavery took freedom, it took livelihood, and it was a violation of God and of the principles of the Declaration of Independence. During the Civil War, Harriet Tubman became a spy. This was good because she was good at working at night. She obviously had excellent eyesight. And by the way, she always carried a revolver with her on the Underground Railroad, so she was able to protect herself very well serving as a spy for the Union forces in the Civil War. After the Civil War, she and Thomas Garrett worked for the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution. Other whites worked with blacks as well. Clinton Fisk, who was a general in the Civil War on the Union side, he was a student at Hillsdale College, where I taught for many years, and Fisk asked the people of Nashville, where he was stationed after the war, what he could do to help. And they said, we need an education. We need to be able to read and write to take our place in society. And Fisk started Fisk College in Nashville so that black and white could work together to make this a better country. Samuel Meharry, a white man, started a medical school in Nashville, Meharry Medical School, so that Nashville became a center for black education. Booker T. Washington was taught at Hampton Institute, who was run by another white man named Samuel Armstrong, and he started Tuskegee Institute. So you had black and white working together to establish colleges and secure black education. We only had about one black college, really, before the Civil War. 50 years after the Civil War, we had about 100 black colleges, and many of these were started with black and white working together to improve black education. This was an era of segregation in the United States. However, according to the U.S. Census, the black literacy rate among adults was only 19% in 1870, that is, one in five blacks could read or write. By 1930, that rate was up to 84%. By that point, blacks could read and write and were better able to take their place as citizens of the United States, which helped them secure rights in civil rights legislation in the 1960s. The story of Harriet Tubman and Thomas Garrett is inspiring. It lets us know in this country what can be accomplished when black and white work together. In fact, it's often black and white working together against black and white. Black and white were working for freedom, Harriet Tubman and Thomas Garrett. But some blacks and some whites were working against freedom. In the case of the plantation owners, that's obvious. But you also had John Tubman, who was working against freedom. You had Thomas Otwell, a black, who was working to undermine the freedom of other blacks. It was black and white, inspired by freedom, working against black and white, who were willing to accept the slave institution. I recommend Ann Petrie's book, Harriet Tubman, Conductor on the Underground Railroad. Petrie is a black woman. She is also a novelist. In fact, she wrote a novel called The Street in 1946, and that novel became the first black written novel to sell over 1 million copies. Her book on Harriet Tubman was written almost a decade later and is also very inspiring on black and white working together. A more recent biography of Harriet Tubman, which I recommend, is by Kate Clifford Larson, and it's entitled Bound for the Promised Land, Harriet Tubman, Portrait of an American Hero. And a book by Thomas Garrett, which is good, is called Dear Friend, Thomas Garrett and William Still, Collaborators on the Underground Railroad. It's edited by Judith Bentley. There you get Tubman and Garrett, black and white, working together. Their story is one of courage. Freedom often inspires courage, the desire for freedom, the willingness of some people to help others to achieve it. Black and whites in this country, in the United States, enjoy freedom, and we enjoy it because black and white were able to work together to spearhead the move for freedom in the United States. And that concludes today's episode of Books with Bert. Thank you all for listening. Be sure to subscribe and rate my podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or any other place where you get podcasts. We don't want you to miss future episodes. And if you liked today's episode on Harriet Tubman and Thomas Garrett, and you want to find more content to fill your heart with love for America and conservative ideas, be sure to check out YAF.org. The conservative movement starts here. Until next time, keep reading.